Most people, upon hearing our readings this Sunday, think they convey a message about the importance of gratitude. While I wouldn't disagree with that, I'd like to suggest that, maybe a bit more fundamentally, they convey to us something about faith. Now, before I say more about that, I'd like to offer a brief explanation of our first reading from 2 Kings. The passage we heard really isn't comprehensible unless we're given some background to the story. Naaman was not an Israelite. He was Assyrian or Aramean. He was an army general renowned for his military success, including campaigns against Israel. However, Naaman contracted leprosy. His wife's maid, a young girl he had captured during a raid on Israel, informed his wife that there was a prophet in Israel who could cure leprosy. And she, Mrs. Naaman, in turn, told her husband. Eventually, Naaman journeyed to Israel and sought out this prophet, Elijah the prophet. Although Naaman arrived at Elijah's home with great pomp and dignity, Elijah did not even come out to meet him. Instead, Elijah sent his servant to tell Naaman to simply wash 7 times in the Jordan River, and he would be clean. Naaman was insulted by this, having expected Elijah to come in person and perform some dramatic ritual or miracle. He was prepared to leave in a huff to return to Syria, but his servants persuaded him to follow Elijah's instructions. So Naaman bathed in the Jordan, and that is where our first reading began. Naaman was converted by the experience of actually being healed, and gives up the worship of the pagan gods of Syria, and devotes himself solely to the Lord, the God of Israel. Thus, his request, and this is sort of the weird part about the reading, if you're paying attention, his request for 2 mule loads of earth. Naaman intends to bring all this dirt back to Syria and build an altar on top of it for sacrifices to the Lord of Israel, God of Israel. You see, it was a common notion at that time that national gods could only be worshipped on native soil. That's the kind of the backstory behind that rather strange part of the passage. Naaman had just enough faith, although it was with some persuasion, to humble himself and wash in the Jordan. Similarly, we are called to respond in faith and humble ourselves in baptism and the other sacraments of the church to be healed of our own spiritual leprosy. Now, with that background, on the first reading in mind, back to the main point in my homily. Again, I'd like to propose that our readings this Sunday convey 2 key responses to God based on one's faith. 2 key responses to God based on one's faith. The first response is asking for what we need or desire, asking God for what we need or desire, and confidently believing that we will get it. Confidently believing that we will get it. And the second response is thanksgiving as worship. Thanksgiving as worship. The fact that these 10 lepers come to Jesus for healing expresses one level of faith. The fact that they call him Master expresses a higher level of faith. But the fact that they all obey him and go off to show themselves to the priests who will certify that they are cleansed. The fact that they do that even before they are cleansed, the fact that it is only on the way to the priests that they receive the miracle, that shows that their faith was still on a higher level. They trusted Jesus so much that they believed they were healed and acted as if they were healed before it even happened. Our faith should be like that. When we pray for a good thing and do not get it, at least at first, Jesus tells us, all you ask for in prayer, believe that you will receive it and it shall be yours. It's Mark chapter 11, 24. In other words, pray as if you have already received it. Pray as if you've already received it. Thank God for it even before you get it. Why? Why do this? Not because we're playing mental tricks with ourselves, and not because we can manipulate God, but because we can be certain that since God is infinitely good and loving, and infinitely wise, and infinitely powerful, we will receive what we have asked for if it is really a good thing for us, as we think it is. We can be certain of this ahead of time, because if God is God, and if God is infinitely loving and wise and powerful, then all things, even bad things, must work together for our best good in the end, even bad things. Sure, it's hard to believe it, but it is a test of faith. We are invited to be like the 10 lepers who acted as if they had already received the healing from Jesus and went off to show themselves to the priests. Of course, we may be wrong. We may be wrong about what is truly best for us in the end, because our thoughts are not infallible. But God is. God is. We make mistakes about what is best for us, and He never does. So that's the first response in faith to God, asking for what we need or desire and simply expecting to receive it. The second response in faith is thanksgiving that is worship. Thanksgiving that is worship. It says that all the lepers are cleansed, but only one, a Samaritan, returns to thank Jesus. He fell at the feet of Jesus and thanked him. He fell at the feet of Jesus and thanked him. This is virtually an act of worship, is it not? It's an act of worship. Note that in both the gospel and the first reading, we have foreigners, a Syrian and a Samaritan, those not of the people of Israel, who are cured of leprosy and whose response is grateful worship. These readings are leading us to understand worship as an expression of gratitude. This is especially true of the central act of Catholic worship, the Liturgy of the Eucharist, since the word Eucharist comes from the Greek word for thanksgiving. Today's readings are calling us to recognize that we, the vast majority of whom are Gentile foreigners, if you will, have been cured of our terminal spiritual leprosy by washing in the humble waters of baptism. Having been cured, that is, put back right in right relationship with God, our proper response is eager gratitude expressed through worship. Christian life certainly does not consist only, in going to Mass on Sunday. Yet it also certainly must include attendance at Sunday Mass for many reasons. One of these is that the Mass is our highest expression of thanks and gratitude for what God has done in our lives. We offer our lives to God. In the Mass, we offer our lives to God along with bread and wine, and God gives his Son back to us in return. Now, as a side note, I'd like to take this opportunity to point out or clarify that our participation in the sacrifice of thanks in the Mass requires us, just like with all the other sacraments, to be there in person. To be there in person. Because the sacraments are a personal encounter with Christ Jesus. And I mention this because since the pandemic and the proliferation of, you know, virtual masses or mass, you know, on TV and YouTube, I think there's been, and I perceive this, a lot of confusion about how one participates in or attends the Mass. We are, of course, morally obliged, because we owe God our worship, we are morally obliged to attend Mass in person, you know, every Sunday, every weekend, unless we are physically unable to come, or we're attending to caring for someone who is sick, or we're physically unable to come, which is the case for, you know, many of our homebound parishioners. If we are able to come, watching Mass on TV or online does not satisfy the obligation. Now, during the pandemic, our bishops temporarily dispensed from the obligation to attend Mass. TV or online Mass was made available simply as a means of helping people to pray or to feel connected to their parish. But it does not, and it never has, constituted real participation that satisfies our moral obligation to attend, you know, what is called the Holy Sacrifice of Mass. Even though you're here, I think it's good for us to know and understand that. Worship of God is a basic moral obligation, evident to our basic reason, to our properly exercised reason. In other words, our basic reason, ability to reason, tells us that there is a God and he should be worshipped. We can kind of come to that conclusion just through our basic reason. If God hadn't revealed to us a way of worshiping him through Scripture and the tradition of the Church, we would still be obliged to come up with rites to worship him, to express our gratitude for the being who caused our existence. Well, how much more so? How much more so when this being has revealed himself to us, become one of us, died out of love for us, and rose again to show us the way to life? And in the face of that, devoting an hour a week in thanks to him, you know, should be nothing. Again, our readings today convey to us two important lessons about faith. First, boldly ask for what you need or desire and expect that God will answer in the way that he knows best. And second, our thanksgiving to God is essentially our worship of him, particularly in the Mass. Thanksgiving to God and worship go together, hand in hand.